Time now for the Joe Philbin Show, presented by EverBank. EverBank, your home for banking, lending, and investing with John Congemi. I'm Jesse Agler. Now the head coach of the Dolphins joins us in studio, Joe Philbin, day after the game against the San Francisco 49ers. A lot to discuss from this one. I want to begin with something that I liked. Last week, New England had the 7-minute drive, and that basically sealed the deal. Yesterday, it looked like San Francisco might have a similar one. They go up 20-6. It's almost 7.5 minutes long, I think. But both the offense and the defense answer to that, kind of giving the offense an opportunity after that. You got the Fasano touchdown, which was a great catch, and then the 3-and-out to set up the big drive, I guess, for the Dolphins. So a step in the right direction, maybe?
Yeah, there was a lot of positives. I mean, as we watched the film, and we told the guys all week when we started our preparation for San Francisco that if we played our type of game, if we played physical, if we played fast, if we played decisively, we would have opportunities in the fourth quarter to win this football game. If you looked at our body of work over 12 games and their body of work over 12 games, that we would have opportunities. And certainly that presented themselves in the game on Sunday.
All right, offensive line was a big story coming into it. Jake Long placed on injured reserve earlier in the week, so Jonathan Martin kicks over to the left side, Nate Garner on the right side. Your thoughts on the way those guys handled themselves, the offensive line against a very good defensive front? The two false starts, I imagine, were frustrating in the goal-to-go situation, but overall from the offensive line in those tackles yesterday.
I thought they competed hard. I thought, you know, obviously Alden Smith had the one sack in the red zone there against Jonathan Martin. But overall, I thought Jonathan competed very well and did a good job. I thought Nate Garner played well. There wasn't a lot. You know, Brooks is a good player. He was matched up on him quite a bit. And I thought he did a very, very solid job. So overall, while there's still a lot of room for improvement, I thought for their first time, you know, going into a week of surely starting at those two positions, I thought they did a good job.
Coach, a margin of error each Sunday in the NFL seems to be so slim.
Right.
And when you make mistakes, whether it's on offense, defense, or special teams, when you give teams a short field and you give them teed up on the 12 and teed up on the 9-yard line, it's difficult to come back and respond from that. With errors like that, it seems like it's hard to come back, but you guys did a good job of that during the game, but you just can't have those week in and week out.
It's difficult, John. I mean, we talked about, we used the term, look, we got to go out there and play a clean game from an execution standpoint, from an assignment standpoint, and it starts with ball security. And you know, we didn't do that. Now, the positive spin on that one is, you know, Marcus drops the ball in the 9, and they score, and then he gets a return out to basically midfield, which was good. But again, you know, offensively, we'd like to capitalize more on that. I mean, you know, we had to grind out a 53-yard field goal. So, I mean, we got to do better. We got to complement. The units have to complement one another. Once we have some momentum, we got to really build off it. That's going to be a point of emphasis here this week.
Yeah, it was a big kick return after the mistake for Thigpen, as you said. For all the talk about mistakes, and this I feel like is something we've said during a few of the games this year, you end up in that situation where you got a chance. We alluded to it at the beginning here. You know, you get the ball down 7 at your own 35. You get down to their 35, I think, with the 4 straight incompletion. So you've got the opportunities there. What needs to happen in that situation to come out with a different result?
You know, we have to execute better. I mean, there's just no other way around it. And as you guys well know, in this league, there's a lot of one-possession games in this league. We got ourselves into a situation, whether we were too generous with the fumbled punt, that's all, you know, passed. So we got to the fourth quarter. We got ourselves into one-possession game. We got to stop. We got ourselves in good field position offensively. We got to do something with the football. We got to make some plays there and execute better, no question about it.
It was nice to see Ryan Tannehill check the football down and get the ball to Reggie Bush in the passing game yesterday. And, Coach, was that part of the plan of attack going in against San Francisco, or was that just the natural progression of what Ryan was reading and what he saw defensively?
I think a little bit of both, John. You know, there were some situations where we felt like we could get the – you know, favorable matchup for us on a particular defender. So that was part of the plan. And then B, sometimes it got to him, you know, based on the coverage that was called and the progression, normal progression of the route concept. But I think both were really part of it.
One of the guys who had a big day yesterday was Cam Wake. 3 sacks alone in the first half. How much does it help the rest of the defense when he's putting that kind of pressure on a quarterback?
Well, it gets them out of rhythm. You know, their play caller's concerned about, you know, do we have to keep another player in? Do we have to keep Vernon Davis in to help out? Do we have to keep a back in to help out? You know, how are we going to handle this guy who's giving us trouble? So there's no question it helps the overall defensive unit.
All right, and a lot of talk about scoring points. You know, we kept saying 18.9 during the week. It's down now to 18.4, I think, points per game. As we've said, it seems like the chances are there. You have Ryan Tannehill's pass to Brian Hartline, the second play of the game, I think, where he slips and maybe he had a big play in front of him, still picked up 28 yards. You have the miss to Bess in that last big possession that we talked about. Marlon Moore gets open on a deep ball. is it comforting in any kind of way that the opportunities are there and they're just not maybe being executed as opposed to not even having those chances?
Well, I guess, you know, but in every game almost that you're a part of in this league, you know, we tell players all the time, there will be plays to be made. Now, we may design a specific pass, and it may not shake out the way we think it shakes out as coaches, so it may not be that specific play, but probably an opportunity will pop up on another one where you don't think. For example, the throw to Brian for 28 yards was not designed that way. It was going to be an outbreaking route for an 8-yard completion. They played a different coverage. We made the right adjustment. We made the right throw. So, you know, plays, explosive plays can pop up in a number of different fashions. And so we just have to keep playing, you know, stay with the system, do things the right way. And when those situations arise, take advantage of them.
Coach, let's move on from San Francisco to this Sunday. The team that comes in, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have a quarterback that's very familiar in South Florida with Chad Henne coming in as the starter. You've seen plenty of tape when you were looking at this team when you took the job, and obviously Chad was on there. What do you see in the Jacksonville quarterback?
Hey, Chad's a good football player, no question about it. He stepped in there, had a couple, you know, had one monster game for these guys, and he's done well. He's played well. You know, it's a young football team, and he's going to be a challenge. We're going to have to play well on defense, no question.
One of the reasons Chad Henne will be a challenge, I think, is Justin Blackmon, a rookie wide receiver who's really come on. Also, you know, maybe in the second part of the season here, we've seen a lot of these big-time alpha number one wide receivers this season, you know, whether it's Andre Johnson or whomever, Larry Fitzgerald, another kind of challenge like that for the defense because he seems to be fitting into that mold now.
Yeah, he's got a lot of skill, you know, and he's a guy that can break tackles. You know, they like to get him the ball in a variety of fashions, and he's got obviously a vertical presence. There's no doubt about it. He's got good size, so it's not surprising that he's playing well.
Coach, what's your message this week to the Miami Dolphins? I heard you say earlier, you know, you want to play a clean football game. Is that part of your message moving forward from last week to this week?
Well, it's December 16th as when we line up on Sunday at 1:00 against the. You know, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We told the team in the locker room after the game that, you know, we've all got to be committed to playing our best football of the year, and we can accept nothing less. It was week four, you know, game 14 of the regular season. We should be playing our best football of the year. We got to stop being so generous to the opposition and play our kind of game for 60 minutes, not for 45 or 50, and play well for four or five plays. We already know that there's going to be four or five plays that are going to determine the outcome of the game. That's not something new in the National Football League. That's been going on for a long time. And we got to be on the right side of those four or five plays.
All right, coming up on Sunday, in addition to the game, of course, the 1972 team will be honored, the 40th anniversary of the perfect season. You've mentioned it multiple times since taking the job, kind of the admiration you had for those teams when you were growing up and watching the National Football League. Should be a special day at Sun Life Stadium.
Yeah, it really will. I mean, it's going to be fun. I mean, the great thing about it is the expectations are high here. I mean, because of the great accomplishments of that 72 team, the 73 team, and then, you know, as Coach Shula for 20 years after there had outstanding football teams here in Miami. So that's a legacy we want to establish and build upon, and it's a tradition our players need to know about and embrace.
All right, tickets still available, 1-888-FINS-TIX or online at dolphins.com. Joe Philbin Show, final question for the coach comes from Michael on Twitter, and he wants to know something we've kind of touched on here. With all the close games, and whether it's Indy or Buffalo or yesterday or New England last week, what does the Dolphin team need to do to get over the hump?
We got to play better in the fourth quarter, guys. I mean, you know, the games typically in this league, a lot of them, especially if you look at us now, we've got 13 games of body of information or of knowledge, et cetera, however you want to describe it. And it looks to me like if you look at the 2012 Miami Dolphins, they're going to be in the game in the fourth quarter. And so now what we have to do is find ways to make plays in the fourth quarter in every single phase of the game. They're going to contribute to a team victory. It's no more complicated than that.
Win the fourth quarter. Sounds good. Joe Philbin, a day after the Dolphins and the 49ers. Good luck getting ready for Jacksonville. Appreciate the time as always.
All right. Thanks, guys.